Decent Fellows Press presents Devil in the Details by L.J. Haywood. Narrated by Rowan Scott. La Petite Mort, June. You came back. I spun around at the sound of Jack's voice, my free hand reaching into my jacket for a gun. Habit and muscle memory were hard things to counter, despite every instinct assuring me there was no danger. Yet the relief of seeing Jack standing in the open doorway, hale and apparently happy to find me in his apartment, did not quite mitigate the fact that he had surprised me. It could have been someone else at my back, someone who announced their presence with a bullet through my spine. Jack. It came out on a strained breath as I settled the Desert Eagle back into its holster under my right arm. I wasn't expecting you so early, or that he would catch me here at all. Guiltily, I glanced at the distraction in my other hand. The picture frame was plain black, but solid and heavy, and would have made an adequate weapon if required, yet the photo it held meant I would never have used it as such. Since my first visit to Jack's apartment, I had felt drawn to this image, but resisted the temptation to pick it up and study it. Those same indelible instincts that protected me from harm kept me from giving in. This time, though, already hurting from Jack's actions over the last couple of visits, all resistance was gone. Clearly not. Jack stepped inside and closed and locked the door behind him, dark brown eyes crinkling and lips curling into a delighted smirk. His pleasure at catching me by surprise tickled in my chest. Being the reason Jack smiled warmed me through and made me want to do nothing else for the rest of my life. If only Jack wanted the same thing. Though the way he was focused on me, so intent and heated, it could be assumed he did. Yet the voice of reason reminded me assumption was a fast way to die. Be certain or be prepared for every possibility. I was failing on so many levels already. I couldn't fail this one. There's not a lot going on at work lately. Jack's tone was casual, as was the way he set his helmet on the kitchen counter and started pulling off his riding gloves. His gaze never left me, though. It raked down my body, faltering briefly when it reached the photo frame, then continued on and back up. I got bored today, and since I have quite a bit of leave time owing, they couldn't wait to send me home. Drat. The plan had been to get in and out unnoticed, a quick 10-minute job. However, as with so many things Jack-centric, it all went haywire the moment I set foot within his home. It had been easy to convince myself I could do this when I'd been securely ensconced within my Kuala Lumpur safe place. Come to Sydney, plant the information Jack needed for his Delta subject job, and leave him to find it on his own. Of course, that had been when I thought I had a 2-week window. Kun Sain had stepped up his timeline, and thus here I was, not totally unprepared, but rushed enough I'd been discovered.
I really didn't think I'd see you again for a good long while.
Jack unzipped the front of his leather jacket and tossed it over the back of a chair at the dining table.
If at all,
he added ruefully, and shoved his hands in his trouser pockets, managing to look like 6 feet of beautiful contriteness. Jack had on an off-the-rack navy business suit, like most of his workwear, but he wore it superbly well all the same. Granted, he didn't look as polished as he had in his Hugo Boss at the Gold Coast, but right now, with his black curls tousled from his helmet and his button-down half untucked from his trousers, he was even more irresistible. Especially since I apparently wasn't the only one who regretted how our last visit had ended. Maybe I'd been too rash in leaving as I had last time. Jack couldn't help being rude and untactful when sick. The hurt was still there, a smouldering coal in my belly ready to be fanned to flames again, but right now it felt small and excusable. Everything had been so much easier when there were thousands of miles between us. My resolve had been strong. Here, just the warmth of his hopeful gaze wilted my convictions. I had been caught. Perhaps I should make the most of it while I could. A final night of passion and pleasure to keep me warm when I left again. I set the frame back on the shelf, and Jack's gaze followed the picture, a slight frown pinching his brows and his lips parting to speak. Don't you have an active case at the moment? I knew this question would waylay any questions he had about my interest in the photo. Jack had made his thoughts.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?